Well, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about difficult ones. What did we do? Fasting, silence, and solitude, and now journaling. And journaling is a difficult one. How many of you have ever journaled? I'll say that. Ever.
Ever.
How many of you have journaled recently?
What's journaling?
I'll ask that question after we get done.
I may qualify.
You may qualify? Do you write down anything that you keep in a book?
No, I just have it on a sheet of paper and book.
More than post-it notes?
Yeah.
Post-it notes don't count as journaling. Unless you put the post-it notes somewhere and they have more than to-do lists.
8.5 by 11.
Okay, I think that'll work.
On the other side, both sides.
Well, I have a mother who is a passionate journaler. She has shelves of books about journaling. Well, of her journals. And she's always asking me if I'm journaling. It's journaling and taking my vitamins. Those two things are pretty much a sure bet. And if I'm sleeping enough. Josh, I know you're not getting enough sleep. So about every time we talk, but journaling comes up probably about every week. She wants to know if I'm journaling. It's quite significant to her. And well, I'm like all of you that have journaled. I do it really well for a while, and then I stop for a while, and then I feel this need to catch up, and I don't want to catch up, and so it's a struggle. It's really hard. But I think everybody has that experience. And so what I want us to talk about tonight is just try to understand journaling and show kind of the importance. Now, the interesting thing about journaling is this is one of the probably the only thing in the book, the only discipline in the book that's not commanded explicitly in Scripture. I mean, of course, Bible reading and prayer and fasting and silence and solitude, even learning, which is next week, is pretty much is clearer in Scripture. But journaling is nowhere directly commanded in Scripture. But it is demonstrated quite a few times. Where can you think that journaling might be demonstrated in Scripture? Okay. That's right. You read, didn't you? That's good. That's good. Let me tell you, look, you cheated and looked ahead. Yeah, there's a few times that it's mentioned. Let's look first of all at just the first little opening thoughts there. He says to journaling, to raise up a mountain of God's faithfulness in your life, to raise up something in your life that will cause you to remember God's faithfulness, is what he would say is one of the purposes of journaling. And journaling blends biblical doctrine and daily living. And it's interesting, if you've noticed, we started talking a lot about prayer and Bible study and those type of things that will allow us to know the doctrine. And then things like fasting and solitude, they take those things and they allow those things to be applicable to our lives. They bring those things into our everyday lives. Like solitude will take Scripture reading and make it into something totally different. It will take it from just being a mental exercise to something that can really influence our lives. And so that's what we're doing. And the purpose of journaling is to take the biblical doctrine, the things we're learning in our prayer time and in our time of the Word, and trying to bring it into our daily lives and how those things can affect us more. And really what we want to know, even from spiritual disciplines, is we want to know how can we take things like the study of the Bible and make them more meaningful to us. How can we get the most out of all the other spiritual disciplines? And this is where I think journaling is really important, because we see that this is a way that we can make the most of all the other disciplines that we're doing. And I think that's true for many reasons. But let's look, first of all, at explanation of journaling. First thing, as a Christian, your journal is a place to record the works and ways of God in your life. It can include daily events, thoughts on personal relationships, insights into Scripture, or lists of prayer requests. Now, the interesting thing about journals are there's so many ways that you can do it. You can write down things that the Lord has taught you from the Bible. Simply, you can talk about... You can not talk about those things and just talk about things that are going on in your life. You can talk about, spiritual events that are going on in your life. Anything. There's no limit to what you can talk about. And the fact is, you're really never going to be able to journal all of those things. If you sit down one day and you try to write what God has taught you this week and what everything that's happened in your life this week and all the events and all the stresses and all those things, you're never going to be able to do it. You're going to get bogged down. And so I think what we do is we write down different things at different times, just the things that really are impacting us that day. If the Lord teaches us something in Scripture that day, then we take 5 minutes and we write those things down because we want to remember what the Lord has taught us. If there's a significant event that happened in our life that day, we want to sit down and we want to write that down because we want to remember the way that God has worked in our life. And that is the purpose of journaling. It's a way to remember the things that God has done for us. And all of us know that there's been many, many things, exciting things that have happened in our lives, things that were just caused us great excitement for a while, but we forget those things, don't we? We tend to forget these things a lot. We tend to forget things that the Lord teaches us in our time with Him. I know I've gone before and read back through my Bible, and I've seen places that I've marked, and I've obviously something that really meant something to me, and I wish I remembered what I got out of that verse when I first read it, because by the way I underlined it and marked it, I knew that it meant something to me, but I didn't have a way to go back and to check what that was. And so it's a way to record the works and the ways that God works in our life. The second thing there, I just put, it's the best place to chart your progress in other spiritual disciplines in order to hold yourself accountable. Now this is really neat. I didn't realize this. I thought about it at the time, but not really in light of teaching tonight. And I thought about it yesterday when I was getting this ready. But I was over at one of my friend's house this week, and he had he found a box of letters, and there were some letters from there from when I lived in Slovakia, and that I had written him. And so he said, "You got to read these letters because they're really funny." And so I got these letters and I started reading them, and I did. It didn't even sound like me. I told him like my 7 goals for the year. That doesn't sound like me. And I had like all these things that I wanted to accomplish, and I don't even remember writing this letter. But I looked back and I thought, that's amazing. Like, I couldn't believe that I had, first of all, I couldn't believe that I'd thought through all those things. And the second thing, I couldn't believe that I had really reached so far. I mean, I put stuff like I was going to study an hour a day in language study, you know, which didn't happen. And I was going to spend an hour a day doing this, and I was going to spend an hour a day building. I even put specifics. I'm going to build strong, close relationships with 3 non-Slovak believers. I mean, just things like that, all the way through, 7 things. And I looked back at that and I thought, it was actually quite convicting. I thought, boy, I think I took those things a lot more serious then than I do now. There were certain things on there that I realized that were much more important to me then than they are now. And they're things that need to still be important to me. But I just thought about that yesterday because I looked at that, something that I hadn't written down, and what it showed me is that there's things that I used to be more passionate about that I'm not as much now. And so that was really convicting to me, to be able to look back and see that. And that's what journaling does. What it does is it allows us to go back, and it allows us to see how we've developed in spiritual disciplines. I think you could write something down that the Lord has taught you now, and 15 years down the road, you'll come back and you'll see how the Lord taught you this from this passage, and then from the same passage, He's taught you so much more because you've grown in the Lord. And you can talk about the way, if you write down the way that you're fasting or the way that you're spending time in solitude, if you look back 2 years from now, you'll be able to see the way that you've grown, or maybe the way that you haven't grown. And so I think it allows us to keep a good check on our other spiritual disciplines. So it's important. I think it can influence all of the other disciplines. So it helps us record the works and the ways of God. The second thing is, journaling is not commanded. We talked about this in Scripture, but it's often exemplified. Many of the Psalms are David's personal thoughts. And I can't believe I did this, but I left my Bible. Does anybody have a Bible I can use? Which is bad, because I want you to look too. I want us to look at Psalms 22 and 23. Psalm 22 and 23. There's the King James. That'll be challenging. I think there might be some Bibles in there. Oh, well. It is large print, which is important. Okay. Well, you can listen as I read. Okay, that's a box, not a Bible. Oh, this is fine. I'll be fine. I'll try King James. It's always fun. And the people on the table get a real kick out of it. Psalm 22 and 23. Now, I want to read both of these Psalms. And what I just want you to think about, I want you to think about how personal this is for David, first of all. And this is a little bit different in the sense that God was giving things to David that he knew were going to be in Scripture. And so it's a little bit different than our journals, which probably will never be inspired by God in that sense. But the fact is I want you to look at what David is doing by writing these things down. I want you to see how personal they are. And what I want to do, I want to read Psalm 22 and Psalm 23 together. And it's quite a bit. It's going to be about 37 verses. But I want you to see the shift in the way that he's feeling throughout all of these verses. So it's really interesting. Starting in verse 1 of Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gapped upon me with their mouths and ravening and roaring lion, as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, hast thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will deliver thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Yet that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is there anything that stands out there to you about the contrast in those two chapters? Right. Why have you forsaken me and the Lord is my shepherd? There's a pretty drastic shift in the way David was feeling, isn't there? I mean, it's amazing, actually. I mean, he felt totally despondent in chapter 22. And towards the end, he began to reflect about God. But just one chapter later, and obviously we don't know in the order these were written, but we know that it came from the same person. So we have David at a period in his life when he feels that he has nothing. Then there's no one to help him, that God has even forgotten him, that everyone hates him. They want to destroy him. They don't feel that anything he's done is profitable. And the next chapter is the chapter that is the greatest chapter of comfort in the Bible, isn't it? I mean, we always read it at funerals and many times because it's a great chapter of comfort. You see this amazing shift in the life of David. And I think what that shows us, even about... First, it shows us just the way that David was pouring himself out on paper, right? And that's interesting. And that's really what journaling is. It's just being honest with what is going on in your life and putting that down. Now, the difficult thing is we often write what we think someone might read someday, as opposed to what really we're feeling. And I don't know if David thought that some people might read this, he might not have written chapter 22. I mean, think about it. I don't know if he would have wanted all of us to know that he was at the depths of despair. He might not have wanted that. But I'm glad we know that, because we see that there, and then we see the complete contrast in chapter 23. And so what we see is this huge shift. But don't you think David remembering chapter 22 makes chapter 23 even better? Doesn't it? As he looks back and he remembers how desperate he was at this point in his life, to look back on that and see where he is now is so much more powerful, isn't it? And I think all of us go through times in life like that. We go through times when we feel like we're totally forsaken, when nothing is making sense. And we write those things down now, so at a time when things are going better, when we really feel the Lord is there with us, then we can reflect back to those times. And both of those times are more meaningful to us. So I think we can learn a lot from the Psalms, even on how to journal in those things, just pouring out our hearts to God. So it happens many times implicitly in Scripture. Also in Lamentations, we read Jeremiah's feelings about the fall of Jerusalem. Many examples there as well. So, explanation of journaling. Basically, all you're doing in journaling is you're writing down things that are significant things that are going on in your life, no matter what area it might be in, family, in the Word, anything like that. Well, let's look second at the value of journaling. Why is it important? Before we start, what can you think of? Why would you think journaling is important, or if you have journaled, how has it been important for you in the past? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. And maybe if you write in the book that at least for a little while you remember what you read in the quiet time if you write it down.
Right.
Just for a little longer.
You remember things more if you write them down. That's good.
You're able to think some emotions out that you're feeling. My mother will she can journal. Mm-hmm. She was a Christian, but his dad and she had some thought out. Mm-hmm. She would write a letter and just say everything she wanted to say and then tear it up.
Really? I want to say something here. I've been thinking a lot about this, and I thought about this just earlier tonight before I was coming in here. I've been thinking a lot about our emotions and our feelings in relation to our relationship with the Lord. And isn't it amazing how we try to tend to be non-emotional in some ways. We see people who seem to be over-emotional, and they demonstrate that in a way that might not be the best, and so we say, well, we're going to just kind of go away from that and be non-emotional. But think about how important our emotions are in a relationship with the Lord. And think about how much the Lord talks about that. Think about how many times people in Scripture talk about their emotions. Because really the way that we feel about God is revealed in our emotions, isn't it? I mean, think about how important the joy and the excitement is that we feel about God. And think about how important the David's despondency is. That's important, isn't it? That all of these things are feelings. And so sometimes, I think maybe for us guys more, that we're afraid to sit down and to express these feelings. We feel like we're on Dr. Phil or Oprah or something, and so we're really not sure what to do with all these things. But I think I don't want us to underestimate the significance of feelings when our relationship with the Lord. That those things are so important. That the negative feelings, the difficult feelings, they draw us to the Lord more closely. And those things are wonderful. And the times of joy and the times of excitement, that all of these things are significant. And I think you're right. I think it allows us to be able to stop and to more clearly see the way that we're feeling and understand why we're feeling that way. And I think it's important to not underestimate the importance of our emotions in our walk with the Lord. Well, let's look here under value of journaling. Let's look, first of all, it helps in self-understanding and evaluation. It helps us in self-understanding and evaluation. Romans 12:13, it says, "For by the grace of God given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Now, how does that verse, what does that have to do with journaling? How does that make us feel about self-understanding and evaluation? What do you think about that? What do you think?
In one sense, it talks about thinking of yourself with sober judgment. Mm-hmm. In a sense, if you go back and look at past journals, you can, years, months later, have a more objective take on what was really going on. You can examine from an objective distance, maybe.
Right.
The kinds of things you were going through and your own reactions and your mm-hmm. own reactions to things that were happening and your own attitudes toward God. And that can even show you things that may still be a problem or mm-hmm. things that you still may need to work on.
Right.
Thought patterns or attitudes.
I think that's right. Well, in this passage, we're commanded to think about the way that we think about ourselves. Now, it's interesting because, and that goes back to solitude as well. There's not a lot of times when we sit down and we think, okay, what do I think about myself? Do I think too much of myself? Do I think not enough of myself? And most of us may tend to be on one of those two extremes. We may think too highly, or we may not think enough because of what the Lord has done for us. We need to think more of who we are in Christ. And some of us need to think that we're not as great as we think we are. And so, or maybe we shift between those two extremes. I believe that many of us do. And so what journaling allows you to do is it allows you to think through the way that you think about yourself. It may even be that you'll write things down, and as you write them, you'll think, boy, I didn't even realize I thought that. Like, I can't even believe I just wrote that, or I can't believe that came out. And so what it does is allow us to evaluate ourselves. And I think what Lori said is right. When you go back, when you're removed from the current circumstance, then you can see things more objectively. You can look back at a certain circumstance and go, well, here I can understand better about the way I was feeling and why I was feeling that way. So I believe it helps us in self-understanding and evaluation. Now, Why is that important? Well, in Whitney's book, he mentioned Calvin, John Calvin, and his institutes. And John Calvin's institutes are so wonderful. What he did is John Calvin wrote, it started off very small, and it just kept expanding and expanding. Now it's two volumes, and you can buy it for rather cheaply at this point. But what he did is he wanted to give something to lay people and to students of the Bible to say, here's how to study the Bible. And this is what he did. And so he wrote that out in his institutes. The very first thing in all of the two volumes, his very first point, if you buy it, you'll see, is he says, without knowledge of self, there is no knowledge of God. That you can't understand God until you understand yourself. And he wrote that in the book, and so I got out just the institutes, and I just read that section and just put kind of a long quote here. It's not in the book, but I thought it was so good, because I think if we're saying that journaling is important because it helps us understand ourselves, we need to understand why it's important to understand ourselves. And I think Calvin makes that very clear. So look there under number two, and let me read this. He's talking about just this importance of knowledge of self, and he says, thus, from the feeling of our own ignorance, vanity, poverty, infirmity, and, what is more, depravity and corruption, we recognize that the true light of wisdom, sound virtue, full abundance of every good and purity of righteousness rest in the Lord alone. To this extent, we are prompted by our wills, or by our ills, it is ills, to contemplate the good things of God. And we cannot seriously aspire to Him before we, I'm not sure what that's supposed to be, before we begin to become displeased with ourselves. For what man in all the world would not gladly remain as he is? What man does not remain as he is, so long as he does not know himself, that is, while content with his own gifts, and either ignorant or unmindful of his own misery. Accordingly, the knowledge of ourselves not only arouses us to seek God, but also, as it were, leads us by the hand to find Him. I love that last phrase. The knowledge of ourselves arouses us to seek God. And I love this. Leads us by the hand to find Him. And I think the important phrase there is, to the extent we are prompted by our own ills to contemplate the good things of God, and we cannot seriously aspire to Him before we begin to become displeased with ourselves. That when we become most displeased with ourselves is the time that we begin to think more about God. And so it's important for us to do what Romans chapter 12 says, and to think about ourselves, to think about the way that we view ourselves. It's important for us to pray, Lord, help me understand myself. Have you ever been had a feeling where you've had a certain circumstance and you thought, I really just wish I could figure what's going on in my own head? You're just not really sure why you're doing the things you're doing or why you're acting, and you feel like it's just way deep down there and you need to understand those things. And in understanding those things, when we take the time to begin to understand ourselves, then we can understand God more clearly. And it's interesting to me that Calvin, in his two volumes, one of the greatest works that's ever been written, he says that you must know yourself before you know God. That when we look back and we think about the way that we acted at certain times, we begin to understand ourselves more, it causes us to cling out more to God. It makes us to love God more and to desire Him more. That the knowledge of ourselves is essential. And as it says, it leads us by the hand to find Him. So I think that's significant. And I think that journaling is going to be one of the only disciplines. Journaling, and I believe silence and solitude, are going to be the only ones that are going to allow us the opportunity to sit down and to really think about ourselves and to really think about what's going on in our lives and to think about what the Lord might be teaching us. And the more that we begin to understand ourselves, the more we will appreciate what the Lord has done for us. So I think that's important there from Calvin. The third reason that helps in self-understanding and evaluation, number three, is journaling allows you to observe patterns in your life you've not seen before. And if you journal over a long period of time, you might come to realize that you've read five or six times in your journal that you've struggled with the same thing, with the same thought, or with the same frustration, or the same anxiety. And so reading back over your journals would cause you to be able to say, listen, in 1999, I was struggling with this, and now here's 2002, and I'm still struggling with this. That shouldn't be the case. It shouldn't be the case that I'm still struggling with something 3 years in a row. That it would cause you to be able to say, listen, I need to deal with this. And journaling consistently would allow you to be able to do that. And you probably wouldn't see it any other way, because we forget what the Lord has taught us and what He's tried to teach us. Put here number four, on the other hand, journaling can also keep you from being too self-focused. It allows you to see yourself as you really are, and in evaluating that, we can be propelled into action. It may cause you to see that there's weaknesses in the way that you're doing things for the Lord. Maybe you need to do more for the Lord, and your journal would help you to see if you're too self-focused. Because We need to say that because in what we're saying right now, we're talking about all self-focus, aren't we? We're saying, listen, we need to find, discover ourselves and the way that we're feeling. But at the same time, in writing things down, we might begin to realize what Hebrew, what Romans 12 says there is we think too much of ourselves. And so we need to be able to use the journal to be able to think, there's ways that I need to do more for the Lord. There's more ministry that I need to do. And from our journal, we can see those things. So it helps in self-understanding and in evaluation of our own selves. But the second value of journaling, you'll see there on B, is to help in meditation. Meditation requires and develops concentration. We've talked about a couple of times the importance of meditation. And I think all of these things are so intertwined. I mean, meditation, silence and solitude, and journaling, I think they're so close together, but all of those things are so closely related. But meditation requires that we concentrate. Sitting down and deciding you're going to write things down forces you to meditate on Scripture. If you read something in the Bible and then you decide that after that you're going to spend 10 minutes journaling, you're forcing yourself to take what you've just learned in Scripture and concentrate on it, aren't you? It's forcing you to meditate. That if you would not have chosen to meditate apart from that, you would have said, listen, I've committed that I'm going to journal, at least for a month. And so you make that commitment, and it forces you every day to concentrate on what the Lord is teaching you. And when I was, there was a time in my life when I really concentrated my journal simply on, I meant to bring it tonight, I had it in my office, just on things that I was learning from the Scripture. So what I did is I got this little notebook, and I just wrote a passage. If it was Romans chapter 12, if the Lord taught me something from that verse, I wrote down what He was teaching me. And then what I did is I put that in order. If the next week He taught me something from Exodus, I put that at the beginning, and I put it all in order. And I have a notebook in my office, and I use it. Actually, if I'm studying a sermon, I'll look back and say, well, I've probably had thoughts about this Scripture before. So I go back and look. And most of the time I thought, I can't believe I thought that. I was way off. But that's kind of what seems to happen a lot of times. But what's great is even that, it shows me how the Lord has allowed me to grow in the way that I study the Scripture. And so one great thing to do on journaling is just to put down your meditations of Scripture. Just to do that. Even if you don't feel like you want to know who you are and to know your own feelings, well, just journal with Scripture. Every time the Lord teaches you something of passions, take 5 minutes and write it down and keep it in a notebook. And you'll be amazed. You'll go back 5 or 6 years from now and you'll just say, boy, the Lord was really teaching me some neat things. It's amazing what I learned from that passage of Scripture. So it forces us to meditate on Scripture. He has a quote there and I thought it was good. Number two, I put it. He says, writing down heightens my expectation of hearing from God as I think on Him and His words in the passage before me. It heightens my expectation of hearing from God. And you know what it does as well? If you know you're going to journal and you know you want to journal about the passage, it makes you sit there until you feel like the Lord's taught you something. Doesn't it? Because you know you want to write something down about that passage. So what you do is you say, I know I need to journal, and so I'm going to get something out of this passage. And I know, I would imagine all of us have had the struggle of reading and getting up and knowing nothing, or having nothing has changed, no feelings have changed whatsoever, that we've just done our duty and we've gotten along, and the whole time we've been distracted, we've been thinking about what we're doing next. But journaling forces us to take a Scripture and say, okay, Lord, as Psalm 119:18 says, open my eyes because I need to see something from You. I want to see something. And so it allows us not only to meditate, but it allows us to see things more from Scripture. The third value of journaling, letter C, is to help in expressing thoughts and feelings to the Lord. A way of pouring out your heart to God. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. And so that is a command, to pour out your heart to God. And that's not a command to write things down, but I think we're going to be more likely to pour out our hearts to God and communicate our feelings by writing them down than we are by talking many times. Because it's more of a disciplined thing to do. The second thing under that is just honest expression of current circumstances. The keeping track of both the times of exhilaration and despondency. Just keeping track of those things, of being honest, and just saying, listen, this is a difficult time for me, and putting why that is. And then another time saying, this is a great time. The Lord is doing great things. So keeping track of all those. David Brainerd is a great example of that, and I'm going to save that towards the end if we have time. I'm going to just say right now, at the end what I did is I at the very last page, I photocopied 2 pages out of David Brainerd's journal, and I beg you to read this. Please, please, please read this. While I'm thinking about it, look at it here where it starts on part 3. And what I'd encourage you to do is, it wouldn't take you very long to read this, and I promise you once you'll start, you'll get excited about it. Start on page 92, Thursday, July 29th. He says that he was examined by this association to see if he could preach, and they said that he received a license to preach the gospel. It's a big moment in his life. Afterwards, he felt much devoted to God, joined in prayer with one of the ministers, my peculiar friend, in a convenient place, went to bed, resolved to live devoted to God all my days. I mean, there are so many things in David Brainerd's writing. They're so encouraging. David Brainerd's a missionary to the Indians. I've mentioned him before. So I would encourage you to take time and start with that Thursday, July 29th, and read through it on the back, and you can go all the way until just about 5 or 6 days later. And it's amazing the shift in his thought from one day to the next. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. One day, he's just literally wanting to give up on life. He can't take it anymore. And the next day, he just cannot stop praising the Lord and cannot stop praying. And it's neat because you read that and you think, I felt that way, you know, this week even. And so it's encouraging. I've been reading this book, From Jerusalem to Aaron Gyra. I'm reading it for class, and it's the history of world missions. But what it does is it just does it in biography form. It's little biographies of people. And it's amazing as you read through that, people who have lived after David Brainerd, that the journals of David Brainerd have greatly influenced missionaries for the last couple hundred years. It's incredible. And if you've read stories of any missionaries in the past 200 years, you will see, like William Carey, who they call the father of modern missions. He took 3 books with him on the mission field. He took his Bible, he took Pilgrim's Progress, and he took the life and diary of David Brainerd. That's all he took. And he says in his biography that he constantly received encouragement from the diaries of David Brainerd. And so I really want to recommend this book to you. Jonathan Edwards is the one who put this together. David Brainerd was a friend of Jonathan Edwards, came and lived, fell in love with his daughter, but David Brainerd fell in love with Jonathan Edwards' daughter, but David Brainerd died, and his daughter took care of him the whole time at their house. And afterwards, he felt that David Brainerd was such an unusual man that he wanted to write down and keep track of these journals. This edition here I put on there, it's great because it has a biography of Jonathan Edwards in the front. And then it has a biography of David Brainerd done by Edwards, and then the diaries of David Brainerd. But I think you'll be encouraged by that, and hopefully the parts that you read here will be encouraging to you. So I encourage you to read that. But what it does is it gives us a great example of just the honesty that you find in his journal. I mean, just the different moods and things that he felt all throughout those. And Donald Whitney even mentions that here in his book. He gives some examples on 209 and 210. The fourth thing there is by thinking more deeply, we can feel more deeply. Maurice Roberts, he gives this quote here. It's a great quote. He says, "A spiritual diary will tend to deepen and sanctify the emotional life of a child of God." This goes back to what we were talking about a minute ago. There is great value to us of becoming more deeply emotional over the great issues of our faith. Our age is not deep enough in feelings. Biblical men are depicted as weeping copious tears, as sighing and groaning, as on occasion rejoicing with ecstasy. They were ravished by the very idea of God. They had a passion for Jesus Christ, His person, offices, names, titles, words, and works. It is our shame to be so cold, unfeeling, and unemotional in spite of all that God has done to us and for us in Christ. Keeping of a diary might help to put us right in this respect also. So he's just saying what we were talking about a minute ago, is that we need to feel more emotion for God. We need to understand that all of these emotions, even the difficult emotions, they draw us to God. And the exciting emotions, they draw us to God. It's the same with our senses. I've talked about this before. The things that we see, the things that we hear, all of those things are there to draw us to God. We don't see things simply to see things. That we see those things and we recognize those things as coming from God, and they cause us to rejoice in Him. We hear things. We hear sounds outside, and those things cause us to rejoice and to think more of God. And so as we begin to think more seriously about these things and journal, it increases our emotion. And when we feel more about God, then we're going to do more for the Lord. That our emotions control us in many ways, don't they? In some ways I think that's good, in some ways it can be negative. But we want our emotions to be controlled by the Lord. We want to feel these things that the Lord allows us to feel. And so as we write these things down and we journal, it causes us to think more deeply, and then we feel more deeply. And what Maurice Roberts is saying is here, you need to feel more deeply. You need to think more about the way you feel about the Lord. The next thing there in the value of journaling is it helps in remembering the Lord's works. Like Asaph in Psalm 77, 11 through 12. He says, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds." Have you noticed through Scripture how many times the Lord says, "remember"? That's a huge theme throughout the Old Testament. A huge theme. And the Lord always says to His people, He goes, remember what I did. Remember this. Remember this. He's always telling the people to remember. And what is He saying? He's saying, listen, you need to look at things that I have done in the past, and you need to recognize those things and what I did in those things, and you need to receive confidence from what I did in your life before. Remember these things. And so that's what happened here, that He was remembering. He was saying, I am going to remember the deeds of the Lord. I'll remember your miracles long ago. And why would it be significant for Him to remember those miracles long ago? It would increase His faith, wouldn't it? If He remembered all the great things the Lord had done at that time, that would increase His faith. And it's the same with us, that we need to write things down. If the Lord does something exciting in our life, if He teaches us something, then we need to write that down, because what will happen, we might come to a place where we're discouraged in our walk with the Lord. We go back and we remember the things that the Lord has done for us, and it will be encouraging. There's many examples of this through Scripture. Stephen Charnock, who wrote a book on the attributes of God, is a wonderful, wonderful book. It's The Existence and Attributes of God, I believe. It's a classic. It's a really great book. If you are wanting to think more about the attributes of God, I would encourage you to get that book. But it says how worthy it is to remember former benefits when we come to beg for new. Is that interesting? I'm going to read that again. How worthy it is to remember former benefits when we come to beg for new. When we come to the Lord and we're asking Him for things, in that time it's important for us to remember the things that He's already given us in the past. And I promise you that we will not remember all those things unless we write them down. Unless we take 2 minutes and say, the Lord did something amazing for me today, and I just want to write it down. And so it's a time that we can go back and remember those things when we're asking for new things. Another value for journaling, letter E there, is to help in creating and preserving a spiritual heritage for those yet to come, for your children and your family. And Deuteronomy talks about that. There's many reasons you would want to remember these things, and you would want even your children to remember the things that you have gone through. It says in Deuteronomy 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." What He's saying is, I'm telling you stuff. The Lord is saying, I'm telling you stuff right now. Write these things down so that later you will be able to tell your children what I did for you. And this is, would be a great profit for your children, for them to be able to see the way that you felt at certain times. I know that it wasn't but about 3 or 4 years ago when my mom allowed me to see the journal from the day that I was born. Right after I was born, her journal entry from November 5th, 1974. And it was great because the Lord, she really felt like gave her a verse that day that she really wanted to pray for me my whole life. And it was just really neat to see how she was disappointed I wasn't a girl, but still wanting to keep me and the Lord helping her work through all that. They'd had two boys before, and they were really hoping I was a girl. So they put me in dresses for the first 6 years. And something I don't really want to talk about, but... talk to Dr. Phil, but it was great. It was just so neat to be able to look back and to think, this is what my mother was thinking, 3 or 4 hours after I was born. I mean, on the same day, which is really neat. And I think those are the things that can be neat as well for your children. I mean, things that they do, different things that happen in their lives. You write those things down in the way you felt about them, and then someday they'll be able to read those things, and they'll be greatly encouraged. So, but be careful what you write down, because they might read it someday. So, but I think it would be great for preserving the spiritual heritage. 2 Timothy 1:5 talks about that with Timothy. Paul is saying, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. He says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith. He goes, I have been reminded of the faith of your grandmother. And so what it's saying is there's a spiritual heritage going on from Timothy's grandmother and on to Timothy. Psalm 102:18 says, let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. I mean, think about the fact that your grandchildren may take your journals and may praise the Lord because of something that you wrote down. They might read the things that you have written down, and they may be caused to praise the Lord. And that's an amazing thought. And it says, so people, write these things down, so people that have not even come yet, they're not even here, those people can read things and praise the Lord for what He taught you. I think Psalm 102:18 is a great verse. The next value of journaling is to help in clarifying and articulating insights and impressions. Writing makes an exact man, Francis Bacon said. And by writing things down, those thoughts and impressions stay with you longer. It's exactly what Christy said at the beginning, that just one of the very most simple benefits of journaling is just knowing that when you write something down, you're going to remember it more. And not only will you remember it more for that day and for that week, but it'll allow you to go back and to remember those things when you would have forgotten them otherwise. So writing them down causes us to be able to clarify and articulate our insights. It fixes thoughts more clearly and permanently in the mind. Just exactly what we just said. It just helps us to remember those things. But I think the clarifying part is significant as well. Not just helping us to remember, but helping us to clarify that the Lord might be teaching us something. And I've had this experience that as I write down, I'm thinking about other things, that it's connecting to things, and I'm realizing things that I wouldn't have realized unless I'd have stopped and taken the time to write those things down. Just like solitude. That there's things the Lord might be teaching you, and unless you put down your Bible and stop for 10 minutes and think about it, you would have never gotten fully what the Lord is trying to teach you. And it's the same with writing those things down. So it helps in clarifying and articulating insights and impressions. Now look at letter G. It helps in monitoring goals and priorities. It's reminders to help press on to the goal of Christ's likeness. Philippians 3 says, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained." So he's saying that let us live up to the commitment that we've made. And so we write down certain commitments that we've made. And we're going to remember those commitments because we want to look back and see when the Lord taught us those things. I'm going to read out of page 215. George Whitfield kept a checklist every day. It's absolutely incredible. He had a list of 15 things, and he wrote them in his journal, and every day he went back and made sure that he did these things every single day. And he had these in his journal, and that's how we know him. But he's got 15 things. It's on page 215. These are his questions. Have I, number one, been fervent in prayer? Number two, used stated hours of prayer? In the sense, did I use the hours that I set aside I would use? Three, used ejaculatory prayer each hour. Have I constantly been praying? Four, after or before every deliberate conversation or action, considered how it might tend to God's glory. Isn't that? After every thought or action, did I stop and did I contemplate how that action or thought or conversation brought glory to God? Number five, after any pleasure, immediately given thanks. Number six, plan business for the day. Have I been simple and recollected in everything? Number seven, have I been zealous in undertaking and active in doing what good I could? Number nine, have I been meek, cheerful, affable in everything I said or did? Number ten, have I been proud, vain, unchaste, or enviable of others? Number 11, have I recollected in eating and drinking, thankful? Have I been temperate in sleep? Have I, number 12, taken time for giving thanks according to the Williams Law's rules? Number 13, have I been diligent in studies? Ouch. Number 14, have I thought or spoken unkindly of anyone? And number 15, have I confessed all sins? Now I want you to think about it. Imagine at the end of every day going through that checklist every single day. I mean, that's incredible. And we've talked about this a lot in regards to Jonathan Edwards. It's no coincidence that God used Jonathan Edwards the way that he did, is it? It's no coincidence. We talked about it, I think, the very first week when we talked about study of God's Word, that there's a direct correlation between the way that Jonathan Edwards studied the Bible and then what God did with him. That's just that. And it's the same here. I mean, why did God use Jonathan Edwards? Because he did stuff like this. I mean, it seems to me it's impossible. And he had a family and he had kids and all of these things. But he took time at the end of every day to look at this list and write down in his journal every day, have I done these things? And I think it's an amazing thing. And so what it does is it helps us to monitor our goals and priorities. A great example from the life of Jonathan Edwards. It also helps us remember specific goals that were set and when they were set. And this has become very clear to me this week. A month ago, I determined that I would fast from something, not food, but from something particular for a month. And I remember this week thinking, boy, I'm ready for that to be done. And so about 2 days ago, I got out my journal and I remembered what day that I had put that down last month. And Friday I'm over, so it's exciting. But it's just, what it does is, though, if you make specific goals and you do those kind of things, then you set this goal, and then it allows you to remember the goals that you set. And like I said before, even in the beginning, when I looked at something that I'd done in Slovakia, I couldn't believe the goals that I'd set. I was ashamed. Because first of all, I knew that I hadn't done all those things when I was there, and now I'm not even doing as much as I was then. And that was 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, and I just felt convicted by that. So it allows us to monitor goals and to set goals, to see when they were set. Another value of journaling is help in maintaining the other spiritual disciplines. Recording your progress and your promises that you made. Help in revitalizing your devotional life. That what it does is it causes us to be able to look back and see, have we been? You might even, if you would have been journaling throughout the process of this class, it might have been that you said at one time, I am going to study the Bible more, a certain goal. I'm going to spend 15 minutes more a day. And you could look back now, 2 months, 2 months removed from that, and say, have I done that? Have I been successful? Just like David Brainerd said, he says, I went to bed resolving to live devoted to God all my days. And he wrote that down, and there could have been a time when he went back to see that, and he realized the commitment that he had made to the Lord. Well, just here at the end, let's look at Roman numeral 3, just some practical ways of journaling. Some of these are in the book, some of them I just made up, and they may not be helpful, but we thought I'd give you some practical things. It's just using journals or notebooks. Just find something that works for you, whether it be Steve Post-it notes or whatever it might be. But just find something that works for you. Find if it needs to be a spiral notebook. I would encourage you to do something where you can stick pages in, or maybe just anything. I mean, Barnes & Noble has an entire section of journals. I mean, just tons of journals. And I put this one here, and that may seem silly to you, but I put a journal that you're going to enjoy writing in. Whenever I buy journals, I find one that I really like, you know, because I'm going to want to write in it more if I enjoy the journal. And so I have this set of journals that have been written in about a fourth, and then I decide, well, something new's going on, so I get another journal, you know, and stuff. But if you find something that you enjoy writing in, it'll just help. Just a real practical suggestion there. You could start each day in your journal with just a verse and list insights and impressions. That if you wanted to start journaling, if you just wanted to start this practice, then one way I would encourage you to do it is just when you spend time in the Lord, take one verse that you've read that day, write it down, and then put some thoughts about it. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't think that when you start journaling, you've got to spend 20 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day. That commit, if you can, to do it 3 times a week. And just say, what I'm going to do is when the Lord teaches me something in the Scripture, I'm going to write the verse down, and I'm just going to put some thoughts down. Very simply. You may be that you're going through a book of the Bible. So get a notebook. And as you go through and as you study that book, just write down what the Lord's teaching you. But don't let those things just slip out of your mind, but write those things down. And some of you might want to say that you're going to take 5 minutes a day, 3 days a week, and you're just going to write down one thing that happened to you every day. You could do the high point and the low point of the day. What was the greatest thing that happened to you today and the worst thing that happened to you today? Just very simple. Just write those things down, because it'll be fun to go back. It'll be profitable for you to go back and to remember those things. So you could just do something very simple. The third thing is just one sentence a day. Whitney makes this suggestion. Is just do a sentence a day. That don't feel overwhelmed by this. That just maybe you'll just decide that I'm going to get a notebook, and at least every day, at least before I go to bed, I'm just going to write one sentence down. Just, this is something that happened today and I want to remember it. Or this is something that my son or my daughter did today and I don't want to ever forget that. Just little things that could be encouraging for you later on. And the fourth thing I put, this was a personal one, don't feel behind when you miss days. Be disciplined, but don't feel guilty. That journaling, committing to journal, can just be one of those things that causes you to feel guilty with yourself all the time. Because you'll start, and then you'll go 2 weeks without doing it, and then you won't want to do it again because you'll feel like you need to catch up. But don't feel like you have to catch up. Don't go back and write and feel like you have to write everything that happened the 2 weeks that you missed. Just start with the day that you're at. So if you miss a month, well, that's fine. And just go and start that next day with just writing what's going on right now. But don't feel like you have to catch up, because if you feel like you have to catch up, you're never going to go back. It's going to be just completely overwhelming. So I would encourage you just to don't feel behind when you miss these days, and just don't feel guilty. Don't have a sense of guilt for not doing it. But I just encourage you, I think it can be something that can be profitable for you. I was motivated by this this week as well. We've got a couple minutes, and I want to read this excerpt out of Brainerd here from the book. That is on page, where is that? 209 and 210. And we'll read this, and you can just listen as I read this or open up. If you got your book, it's on page 209. By the way, I have a couple of these books, smaller versions. If you don't have one and you want one, I have a couple that I can give to somebody. So if you need one, let me know. On page 209, just listen here. The it's kind of the shift. It's kind of like Psalm 22 and 23 in Brainerd's journal. It was the Lord's Day, December 16th, 1744. He says, "Was so overwhelmed with dejection that I knew not how to live. I longed for death exceedingly. My soul was sunk into deep waters, and the floods were ready to drown me. I was so much oppressed that my soul was in a kind of horror. I could not keep my thoughts fixed in prayer for the space of 1 minute, without fluttering and distraction. It made me exceedingly ashamed that I did not live to God. I had no distressing doubt about my own state, but I would have cheerfully ventured, as far as I could possibly know, into eternity. While I was going to preach to the Indians, my soul was in anguish. I was so overborne with discouragement that I despaired of doing any good and was driven to my wit's end. I knew nothing what to say nor what course to take." And look, it's interesting, just 2 months later, almost exactly 2 months later, he wrote the Lord's Day, February 17th, 1745. "I think I was scarce ever enabled to offer the free grace of God to perishing sinners with more freedom and plainness in my life. Afterwards, I was enabled earnestly to invite the children of God to come renewedly and drink of this fountain of water of life, from whence they have heretofore derived unspeakable satisfaction. It was a very comfortable time to me. There were many tears in the assembly, and I doubt not but that the Spirit of God was there, convincing poor sinners of their need of Christ. In the evening, I felt composed and comfortable, though much tired. I had some sweet sense of the excellency and the glory of God, and my soul rejoiced that He was God over all, blessed forever, but was too much crowded with company and conversation and longed to be more alone with God. Oh, that I could forever bless God for the mercy of this day, who, quote, answered me in the joy of my heart." It's just amazing. You read the first and you think, well, how could the Lord ever use this man? And he was greatly used of God, even still. And then you read the next one and you think, boy, I would like to experience that. Don't you think, I'd love to feel that ecstasy that he felt with God, with being surrounded by people, but feeling at the same time, I wish I could just get away and spend time with the Lord. So there's great encouragement from the life of David Brainerd. I think it's encouraging for missionaries oftentimes, and as I was saying before, the reason this has been so influential is because it's important to see that that people who are greatly used by God are lonely, and they often go through times of depression, and these things are common, and you see just the different emotions, and it's important for us to remember all the different stages and all the different emotions that the Lord has brought us through. And so my encouragement to you is that journaling would be something that would allow you to be able to do that. And for application, just journaling can be fruitful at any level. That anything that you choose to do as far as journaling will be profitable for you. Anything. If you just choose, like I said, to take one verse, then that will be a profit to you. If you choose to write one thing down a day about the family, then that would be profitable. Any of these things, anything that you do to write things down is going to be a fruitful experience for you. Journaling requires persistence through dry times, even times when you're not walking with the Lord. Don't stop because you don't feel like you have anything to say about what the Lord has taught you. Write down the fact that you don't have anything to say because you don't feel like the Lord's taught you anything. Write those things down and be honest with those things. The third thing, just in practical application, is you must start to experience its value. What changes, as always, these questions, what changes are you willing to make in order to create the opportunity to journal regularly? And will you sit down and plan out how you might start a journal and when? I just encourage you, just over the next couple of weeks, just one sentence a day. Just try to start, or 2 or 3 days a week, plan that you'd spend 5 minutes. And I promise you it will help you in your meditation. It will help you in just your time of solitude, and it will help you as you think more about God. Any questions? Anything? All right, let's pray. Dear Father, I'm so thankful this evening for men like David Brainerd who took the time to write down Lord, the way that they were feeling. It's so encouraging to be able to see, Lord, how men felt that were used of you. And Lord, although our journals will probably never be published, they will be of great benefit to us. And so we pray that you would give us discipline in these things, that you would help us to see the benefit and the value of this. And Lord, we pray that this would become something that we would enjoy. And Lord, all of these things have to come from you. Lord, you have to put in us a desire to do these things, all of these spiritual disciplines. We want to do them, but sometimes our Lord, knowing we need to do it, don't necessarily, Lord, correlate with our desire to do it. So, Lord, we pray that you would fill our lives with the desire to know you more, to be more intimate with you, and to do the things even though they're difficult, Lord, that would allow us to do that. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.